This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org.
The following sermon was preached on Sunday, May 8th, 2016, the seventh Sunday of Easter, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Behold, I am coming soon. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Behold, I am coming soon. Depends on where you are as to whether or not that is positive or negative. Because it is our Lord Jesus Christ saying, indeed, that he is coming soon. When we are put on notice that he's coming soon, we have to ensure that we are in conformity to what he wants. Matter of fact, at the beginning of that reading for Revelation, he says, blessed are those who do his commandments, speaking of those who conform in faith and obedience to the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because throughout the Gospels, and here at the end of the Scriptures, this comes from Revelation chapter 22, the latter verses, and that's the last chapter of the last book of the Bible. It is the epilogue. The whole Scriptures have told us about who God is, who we are in relation to him, and what he has done for our salvation, and consequently what he expects of each and every one of us. Because what he says is true. Behold, I am coming soon. That does not necessarily mean soon as in tomorrow or in a couple hours. It means you don't know when. You don't know when, so you have to be prepared for his coming. And for us, that means to present his coming to other people. Evangelism, the Great Commission, go ye therefore and teach them, baptizing them, emphasizing again, teach them. We have to teach them his coming, and he is coming not only to come back, but to come back as judge. We say that in the creed every time we get together, every time you say your rosary, that he will come again to judge both the living and the dead. We have to prepare people for that. We have to prepare ourselves for that. And we have to do it by telling them the truth. Our Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the way, definite article, the truth, definite article, and the life. He is the truth. Standing before Pilate, he proclaims that he is the truth again, and Pilate says, subject, what is truth? Because for the pagan, truth is abstract. It's subjective. Whatever you think the truth might be, for us, we know better. The truth emanates from without us. It is alien to us. It's God's truth, not ours. And when you proclaim it, you must proclaim the whole truth. Everybody's watched court shows. What do you say? The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God. That middle part, the whole truth, is what jams people up. I would actually submit that a lie is less dangerous than a partial truth. Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Satan will give you as much truth as he needs to keep that one little part that's a lie from separating you from the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and eternal life. That's how he works. We need to know the whole truth. That first reading today, the proto-martyr, St. Stephen, he was proclaiming the whole truth. And while he's proclaiming the whole truth, he gets surrounded by vicious men who are hell-bent, literally, on killing him for proclaiming the truth. Now, most of us, I'm sure, would probably, okay, hey, I'll lighten up a little bit. Hey, let's talk about this tomorrow when cooler heads prevail. No, he keeps it up. And what do? They kill him. but he stands to the truth, the whole truth. We need to do the same thing. It is truly unfortunate in our day and age that even emanating from within our own walls, and I don't mean these four walls, I mean the walls of the Catholic Church, you get partial stuff, okay? It's just the state of affairs in which we live. So, as I always point out, and I've been pointing out very, very hard the past 18 months or so, it is imperative that we know the whole truth as individuals and not just rely on what we hear, even if it's what we hear at church. And I'll make my point very, very explicitly here in a bit. But this truth that we proclaim is a truth of glory. It is a truth resplendent with positives. That's a gross understatement. Our Lord Jesus Christ talks about heaven. You know, and he doesn't talk about heaven all that often. He talks about hell a whole lot more often and a whole lot more explicitly in the scriptures than he does about heaven. But here at the end of the Bible, he gives us a picture of heaven. He tells us the truth about heaven. He tells us that it is for the blessed, those of us who, in some versions it says, wash their robes, speaking of washing their robes in the blood of the Lamb, those who do his commandments in the older versions, those who keep his word in faith and obedience. This heaven is for them. This heaven is for us, should we persevere in this life of faith and obedience. It is the heaven. I mean, that's why we're here today, right? I mean, it's beautiful outside. I mean, it's absolutely drop-dead gorgeous. And you're sitting in here, listening to that. There's got to be some motive to be in here. That motive is heaven. We want to get to heaven, and we want to do what our Savior says and fulfill our Mass obligation. Eternal life is for us. This eternal life is forever. You know, it doesn't matter how old you are here. It's a wisp of smoke in God's eternity, and we are hoping, and we have our eyes focused, or should have our eyes focused, on this eternal life, this heaven. As you said, it's a beautiful day outside. The past 3 days have just been, oh my gosh, man, really? I mean, yesterday was prettier than today, and the day before that, I actually walked in the office and said, just go outside. I don't care what you do, just go outside. You just had to be out there. It's gorgeous. It's a cesspool compared to what heaven is. St. Paul tells us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that eye has not seen, nor can mind conceive, heart believe, what glories await us in heaven. It's where Jesus Christ is. It's just not where a place where we get to go and be happy. We get to be happy with the one who bought our ticket there. The one who paid the price that we could go there, because you can't pay it. He had to do it, and that's where he is. He did that because he loved you so much that he wanted to spend eternity with you. Not only is all this stuff, information that you can bring forward, he has, as he told us, sent his angels to protect you and to guide you down here. He has sent not only angels, but his own Holy Spirit to dwell within you. And this whole message that he has is come, this evangel, this good news about his coming. He says, the Spirit says, come. It's what the Holy Spirit does within us as individuals. You come to Jesus Christ. The Spirit does that for us as individuals. We collectively as the church, because it says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Who is the bride? That is the body of Christ, the church of Jesus Christ, the Catholic Church. The bride says, come. That's our message. Come to Jesus Christ, who has earned your way into this heaven. And he goes on even farther to go back to the individual and says, one who hears says, come. It is up to each and every one of us to proclaim this truth, the whole truth. Nothing but the truth. Our Lord says, let him who is thirsty come and take the water of life without price. It costs us nothing. Cost him everything. Costs us absolutely nothing. Let him who is thirsty come. Who are the thirsty? Hold that for a second. What I just said about heaven, that's what everybody loves to hear when they go to church. I know a lot of places where I just say, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and we would just be done with it. What I've said about heaven, glorious as it may be, is not the whole truth. It is not the whole truth that is presented about heaven by our Lord Jesus Christ in that revelation, because he talks about the thirsty that should come to him. I said I was going to get explicit about this whole truth thing. Get ready for this one. I always point out that we don't hear all the words of Scripture all the time in the lectionary readings. The lectionary reading today was all that positive stuff that I just talked about. For those of you who take notes, and I hope there are many out there who do, that passage is Revelation chapter 22. It begins at verse 12 and goes to verse 20. 9 verses, if you read it the way it's printed in your Bible. The lectionary leaves out 3 verses. If we want to present the whole truth to people, you know, it's bad enough to shave off a percent of the truth, 5% of the truth, 10% of the truth. They've shaved off 3 verses out of 9. That's a third of the truth that you don't get. That's very, very dangerous. And it is even more dangerous when you understand what that part of the truth is. I want you to think, get ready for this one. Prepare yourselves. They've left out some words of this prophecy in the lectionary reading. Someone, somewhere, probably a group, I'll say no more, a group decided to leave those words out, some specific words out of that prophecy. One of the verses that they leave out says this, and I quote, "If anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city." That's audacious. That is bold. Hey, let's look at this scripture and see what words we should leave out. Hey, let's leave these words out that says, if you leave these words out, you go to hell. Audacity. Danger. Who would ever think? I mean, that's all. That makes the entire point. From now on, I go there when I say it's dangerous to leave things out. Because they left that out that says if you leave this out, you don't go to heaven. Why did they take these words out? Those aren't the only words that they took out. The other verse that they took out talked about the thirsty. Those who need to come to the waters of life because they will not enter the holy city in their current condition. It says, outside the heavenly city, outside are the dogs, the sorcerers, the fornicators, and the murderers, and the idolaters, and all those who love and practice falsehood. Why would you ever leave out in the story of heaven and what it is? Why would you ever leave people ignorant of those who won't go there? Contrary to what you hear all the time, everybody's not going to heaven. That's the bottom line. Everybody is not. Contrary to what we hear just within the past month or so, from on high, and I don't mean from on high there, I mean from on high elsewhere, there was something written in one of the chapters that says, the way of the church is not to condemn anyone forever. That's problematic. That's problematic, just like Catholic bishops who say that hell is empty. That's problematic to the point of being heretical, but it is stated. Because it's not true. That's why it's a problem. It's not true. Everybody's not going to heaven. Everybody can go to heaven, but everybody's not going to heaven. And we get a list explicitly saying who it is that's not going to heaven. Well, that's for God to work out. I know He wants us to work it out before it comes to that, before He gets here. He has given us ample warning. And when you go through the list, He's not talking about people who've made mistakes in the past. He's not talking about people who are even making mistakes currently, but are trying to work through things, through the confessional, through spiritual direction, through trying to get themselves right. He's talking about people who live these kind of lives because, one, they don't care. I don't believe that. Those people and people who are ignorant of the fact that they are among these folks. Outside are the dogs. He's definitely not talking about animals, because everyone knows all dogs go to heaven. They made a movie about it. I love dogs. Not talking about those dogs. He's talking about unbelievers. Well, I can see why they left that out, because we're Catholics, and that's uncharitable. That's unchristian to call someone a dog. Huh. The Gospel of Matthew, our Lord Jesus Christ, do not give things that are holy to dogs. He's not talking about animals. Our Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospel of John looks at a woman who's asking Him for help and says, it is not fair to take the children's bread and throw it to dogs. This is the one who is the personification of grace and mercy. This is Jesus Christ. Let us not be more Christian than Christ. He's making a point to His apostles, not so much to that woman, because she has sought Him out. She is now a believer. But He's let His apostles know, because of where she came, that it is not right to give holy things to dogs, unbelievers. People who do not believe are not going to heaven. Well, He's a good person. So, he doesn't believe. He or she is not going to heaven. Sorcerers. Well, we can skip that because that's just nonsense. That's balderdash. Horoscopes, palm readers, seers, Catholic people do that all the time. Oh, it's just fun. It's soul-destroying mortal sin is what it is, and it will keep you out of heaven. Fornicators. People always like to try to pigeonhole that. Well, what does fornication really mean? What's the specific... Actually, it's just the opposite. It's very, very broad. It's a huge umbrella. Fornication, bottom line, is any intimate relation with another person outside of a marriage bond recognized by the church. That's real broad in our day and age. Real broad. Fornication. Cohabitation, homosexuality. Soul-destroying mortal sin is what it is. It's a bumper sticker the other day. Pagan, I'm sure. I hope so. Love is legal now. Ain't got nothing to do with love. It's got to do with soul-destroying mortal sin. Separating yourself from Jesus Christ is what is legal now in the civil world. Our Lady at Fatima, she showed the three young seers a vision of hell. And it was so horrendous that all three of them said subsequently that if it had not stopped, they would have died. It was that horrible. And she subsequent to the visions appeared to Jacinta, and she said that sins of purity, sins against purity, are the number one cause that most souls wind up in hell. Because that is the point where everybody is, in our society, free to think whatever they want. Oh, that's just the way they don't believe that that's wrong or that. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter one little bit. Any intimate relations outside of a marriage that is recognized by the church, fornication, don't go to heaven. Not my words, these. Murderers, idolaters, nobody cares about them. Falsehood, people who love and practice falsehood. I said before, our Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the truth. Definite article. There's only one, because if truth by definition is something, anything else is false. It is not true. It's a lie. Anyone who practices falsehood is someone who does not adhere to the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. So all our friends who like to claim monotheism or whatever, or being good people, if they do not embrace the truth, our Lord Jesus Christ, heaven is not for them. The really sad thing about all this is that I have, over the past year and a half, I don't do social networking. I don't have time for that. It's distracting. But when people say father, they do treat us just like regular fathers. They tattletale on one another. I get phone calls. I get people popping in my office. So-and-so posted this on whatever. And it is really kind of scary when I hear it every now and then, because they'll read it to me. So-and-so says they're going to do this next week. And they can call it whatever they want, but it is, if you read this, so-and-so is going to commit fornication next week. And you know what other Catholics do? They reply to them and they say, we're so happy for you. Do they do that self-consciously because they want to denigrate the faith? No, it's because they don't know the faith. You believe that? I'm going to do this next week. Where if you really would technically look at it, it would be, you know what? I'm going to put myself in mortal sin next week. I'm going to separate myself from the grace of Jesus Christ next week. I'm excluding myself from heaven next week. We're so happy for you. All the time. Three times, personally, I know, in the last year and a half. We're so happy for you. How do they learn? You need to tell them the truth. Everything that I've said today, I am not casting in two respects. One, I was not born with this around my neck. For those of you who are visiting, it's relatively recent in my life. I actually lived a real life before. All right? It was a bad life. All right? Every one of these things on this list, in spades, every one of them. And look at me now. Look what he does. Shows he's got a sense of humor. But I mean, it's serious. That's why I get so fired up about this, because I know the change that can be made in somebody's life. I mean, it can be a hyper change. And he's not asking everybody to be a priest. He just wants you to do right, so you go to heaven with him. He wants you to be there with him. That's one side of the coin. Another side of the coin is that, you don't understand, because I have a family member who does this or does that, and they're going to heaven because I love them. Not true. It doesn't have anything to do with you loving them as to whether they go to heaven or not, and I deal with it also. Both close relatives and distant relatives. And guess what? They know what my position is, and I tell them the truth, the whole truth. That's what you're called to do, because he's coming. He's coming, and it's either going to be positive or negative. It is not all positive. Our Lord Jesus Christ says, he who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. He says that we are supposed to tell others the same thing. And we are supposed to put amen at the end of it. Just a little footnote, that's the way it's pronounced. Amen. It's Hebrew. It's not amen. Keep amen. I believe that our Lord Jesus Christ is coming. And I believe he's serious about what he says. Because to deny what he says is to deny the word of God. And he has let it be known that he will refuse no soul. It doesn't matter if somebody's 99 years old and has lived every one of these things all day long for 90 some odd years. He will refuse no soul who comes to him who wants these free waters of eternal life. Come, Lord Jesus. That's what we're supposed to say. We're supposed to say it knowing that he is going to be the judge of the living and the dead. And before he gets here, it is your job to tell others his whole truth. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.